Welcome to Coming Up for Air, the Allies in Recovery podcast, with hosts Laurie McDougall, Kayla Solomon, and Dominique Simone Levine.
Today's topic, we're talking about building a muscle or building your muscle. What's that mean? What are we talking about when we talk about building a muscle?
In general, to build a muscle, you have to work it. You have to do it every couple days at least. So physiologically, right? It's something you have to practice. And the muscle we're talking about building is the craft muscle, the sort of stance in the body, the thoughts in the head, the insights into what's going on, holding back while it gets a little clearer. I mean, these are all things that we're stressing in the skills and the tool set of craft. And it can be used anytime on anyone. It can be used on yourself. I mean, I catch myself being really, really hard on myself. And I go, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Is that really true? Or are you just doing what you do, you know, which is to pull it to an extreme and punish yourself? So that's the idea. Can we gain sufficient awareness into how we're coming across, how we're thinking and behaving and speaking when our loved one is present? Because anybody can do this craft muscle building for any purpose, but we want you to learn how to build that craft muscle for the purpose of helping your loved one perhaps communicate more openly about their addiction, say when it hurts, come to you when it hurts, come to you and ask for help. And then the rest of this is for you to have that help ready to show them. So that's the totality of how we're trying to hold ourselves in this stance, in this position with this muscle flexed, and hopefully move with some fluidity so that this becomes somewhat normal, somewhat typical.
It sounds like anything in life where you're learning something new or you're building on something that you already know about. It really sounds like absolutely everything in life. We go to school to learn new things and it isn't easy, but your teachers tell you you have to practice. So you bring your homework home and you practice at home. You bring it back to school. You learn something new. You bring it home. You practice. Or it sounds even like a sport or playing an instrument. Some of it may be very natural to you, but then there's other pieces of it that you have to practice. If you are a soccer player, right, you enjoy soccer and you're on a soccer team, you go to practice, then you go to games. And let's say you want to get good at scoring in practice. What do you practice? You practice scoring. I'm going to learn how to kick that ball into that net, all the different angles, all the different ways. And when you're in practice, you're making lots of mistakes or you're not hitting the net. What do? Your coach says, back it up, do it again, try it again, try something different, you know, straighten your foot out, step a little farther away, turn your ankle this direction, right? Like all these different steps of try this. Did that work? No. Okay, try this. Oh, that worked. Do it again. And then you go into the game, you score a couple of goals. Does that mean you stop practicing? No, you go back to practicing again and you get better at something different or you strengthen what you already know. And it sounds like that's what you're talking about, Dominique, that craft is about building that interactive muscle in family members of how can I interact with my loved one? And it's not going to be easy and it's going to take a lot of practice.
So what I'm going to add is that the hard part of what we're asking you is you have to start by unlearning what you already are doing. It's kind of like if you, and I am not an athlete, so I'm going to shift the analogy here because I'm terrible at these things. I just like moving and I'm active, but I'm not an athlete. So I've never had anybody tell me, do this, do that. So my vision is that like it could be how you stand. And if you are a slumper, what happens is your body has learned the muscle memory of slumping. And so your body is trained in a particular way. And it is this act of complete effort to do something a different way. Because it's one thing if you learn it first and that's all you learn, but if you're already doing something and it's programmed into your body to be a particular way, the first thing that you need to do, the steps of it, is you have to start with awareness. Okay, so what am I doing? How does it feel? Is it working? What are the outcomes of what I'm doing? What causes me to do it? So you're actually stopping and paying attention to what you're doing that's not working first. So you have to notice that, because if you don't do that, that's the automatic reset. So no matter, as soon as you stop being conscious about it, you're going back to that. So you have to know that and get it into your system. What am I doing? What's happening? What's not working? And then the next step is to learn the tools to do it better. So you have to listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about to be able to do this, which is where the tools come in here. So what we're doing is teaching you a set of positive tools to train yourself differently so that you could be more effective and be more helpful with your loved ones. And, you know, it's kind of like with all of us. That's what we mean by reactivity. Reactivity is the muscle memory of the emotion. So you're already doing this. This is your automatic go-to. It's not even conscious. Something happens, you react, it's automatic. And what we're saying is start to notice that and back it up, so that you then have more choices. And the tools that we're teaching you in Craft and Allies is to really look at what choices that you have to be more effective.
I love this example that you're giving, Kayla, this idea of slouching. Because if you really break it down into small little pieces, you understand how much it aligns with addiction, right? Because when you're slouching, like you said, it's something you just automatically do. You learn to do it in the beginning. It's comfortable. You slouch. You just automatically do it. It's when it becomes a problem for you that you want to change the slouching, right? So it has to become a problem for you. Otherwise, if you're comfortable slouching, you will slouch for the rest of your life. That's just how you'll do it. So once it becomes a problem, oh, my neck is killing me. My shoulder blades are hurting. I've noticed my arms lean forward. Oh God, I caught sight of myself in a window the other day. I look like the Hunchback from Notre Dame. Whatever it is, it's now not working for you anymore. Now it's become a bit of a problem. Now you're aware of it, right? You're aware. Oh my gosh, I slouch. I've got to adjust this. I don't know, you go see a doctor and the doctor says, okay, I'm going to send you to a physical therapist and we're going to work on strategies so that you're not slouching anymore to get rid of this neck pain that you have going on. You go in, you learn new exercises, new bodily movements that you can utilize through this physical therapist. They teach you different ways to stand. They teach you different exercises to build up particular muscles. I just put muscles in quotes and air quotes. And then you start to kind of stand a little bit more erect, right? Yeah, you're standing up. But then what's interesting is that what happens when you get tired and you're not really thinking about standing up tall? And what do? We revert back to slouching.
Right. And what I want to add, because I know physical therapy really well because I live with one, and this is true with all work that we're talking about, whether it's mental health, physical health, or what any kind of health, is that the work happens outside of sessions. You'll learn the tools when you're going to see the person who's helping you, but the people who really improve go home and practice it all the time. And they do this as a regular routine, and they make it part of their lives, and they build it in. And that's what we're talking about here. You can come to the groups, you can listen to the podcasts, you can review the modules, but if you're not actually making it a practice in your life, you don't retain it. It doesn't stick. And so that's what we're asking you to do, is not only learn these new ways of being, and, you know, I feel bad because we're not actually talking about them, but that's what the other podcasts and that's what the modules are about, is it's a tool set that you have to pick up. So, you know, you can learn amazing things, but if you don't make it a practice, your body is not going to make the change. Your emotions are not going to make the change. It's not going to be the familiar new path, because anytime you're doing anything new, you want a new path. It's basically like bushwhacking. You know, there's all these bushes and flowers and plants, and you have to take your machete and make a path first, which is really hard work. But then what we're asking you is keep walking down that new path, keep trying it, keep practicing it when you're relaxed, practice it when you're tense, practice it in your mind, like work through it in your head. And then when you're in a difficult situation, it's a more accessible tool for you to use, as opposed to you don't practice it at all. And then, you know, something hard happens and it's not available to you.
And I would just add, I come from a family of slouchers. I'm the oldest, and you can just follow us down size-wise, and we're all kind of hunched forward, and we look a little sad and a little put upon. That would be us. And, you know, for years I've been trying to stop the slouching because I see it in my siblings and I see it in myself in the mirror. And it wasn't until I started, and I am so happy to promote her, Yoga with Adrienne. She's free online yoga, and she is very strict about getting a daily practice. And she also makes it so short that it's harder to justify not doing it. So 15, 20 minutes and you're done for the day. So I've been able, for the first time in my life, other than go to mutual aid every day, I've been able to do this little 15, 20 minute thing with her. And not only do I have the emotional muscle, I have a physical muscle now that keeps me straight. It's my default. My body has learned what it's like to hold my crown up and have a straight neck, and it's there now. And as long as I just remind myself with practice, continued practice, it'll stay there. And it'll be a very different family get together picture next time, because I've been doing this for 2 years and it's really remarkable. And those two things, other than going to mutual aid every day, which saves so many of us in early recovery, it is so critically important to do something every day for your recovery. I did something every day for my slouching. It's wonderful to know that a daily habit can be made and kept, and that it's really, really the way to implant it.
And we're talking about a lot of different things, because there are people that do daily gratitude lists. You know, that's the positive reframing way of thinking about things. And it could be that you have a practice of practicing communication every day, where you're stepping back and you're not getting reactive and you're thinking before you speak. You could practice pausing every day, where if something is disturbing to you, you take a minute before you respond. And if somebody says to you, you know, are you ignoring me? You're like, no, I'm just thinking and I want to be thoughtful before I say something. Like, there's so many ways to do this. And if you think about us as complex beings that have brains and spirits and emotions and bodies, and that if you build in something to take care of all the parts of yourself, then it allows you to have a better relationship with your loved one, which is the whole purpose of what we're doing here, is that if you can really build yourself up, because that's what this is, because, you know, it's very hard to do what we're asking you to do when you're depleted. It's like there's no way to manage, you know, this level of stress if you're not focused on self-care and regulation, self-regulation, and making positive moves with the people in your lives. Then it just winds up making more of a mess. And so there's two things. One is practicing good things and then learning how to repair, which is another story.
I think it's really important what you said about breaking it down into small pieces and not coming to the website, watching all of the modules and trying to implement it all at once. It's just too complicated and too difficult. It's going to be incredibly overwhelming. And it really brings it back down to the slouching in the soccer game, right? You're going to learn maybe one way to shoot for that goal, and then you're going to come to practice and you're going to find another way, right? You're going to shoot for the top left-hand corner, and then when you come back, you're going to learn to shoot for the top right-hand corner of the net. That's exactly what I did when I first started with Craft in the Allies website. I literally picked one skill at a time. I got better at that one skill. And I will tell everybody, my first skill was, well, one, no negative talk, but I statements. My whole goal when I first started was to take the word you out of my sentences as much as I possibly could and just turn everything into I statements. And I know this is going to sound crazy. I've said this a million times. I have said this to Dominique a million times. That practicing I statements is self-care. It's the mm-hmm. first step in self-care, because I'm learning to take care of myself and to take care of, in order to change my sentences into I statements, I had to consider what I needed and what I wanted and how I wanted to come across. And that literally forced me to pause, because I had to think about, okay, this is what I'd like to say. How can I say it now as an I statement? And it literally becomes self-care. And it's just one simple, tiny, basic baby step that launched me onto, okay, I'm starting to feel better and I'm seeing a difference in my interaction with my loved one. You know what? I can keep going. Let's practice the next step.
And it's so funny that you're using I statements, because I think to myself, when people are learning this, the first I statement is, I need you to stop using drugs. I need you to not come home high. I need you to like not yell at me. That's the first I statements. And this is the irony of learning any new tools. It's like the first one is the clumsy, no, that's not what we're really talking about here. When Lori's talking I statements, what she means is, if you come in high, I'm going to need to get my space. And so that means I'm leaving. Or if you yell at me, I just want you to know I'm not going to engage. I'm going to walk away. And I want you to know that. So it's like, I need to, you, or if somebody's yelling at you, you get to say, I need to go upstairs right now, without using them in the sentence at all. So it's basically you taking care of yourself in relation to what they're doing, but you're not asking them to meet your needs, which is a tough one.
Or maybe I am, but in a way that it's like I'm blaming myself. I always call it blaming myself. And I know that might sound negative. For me, it's not. For me, it's like, no, I'm blaming myself because this is what I need.
So say, give an example of that, Lori.
I know I'm the one that's really frustrated with the dishes being left in the sink before we go and sit down and watch TV. I'm just requesting that everybody make sure their dish lands in the dishwasher. So it's because of me. It's my anxiety around the dishes. And I'm going to ask you to do something, which is put the dish in the dishwasher when you're done. And that's it. And I don't get, like, if someone doesn't follow through, I'm like, okay, well, that didn't work. I'll have to figure something else out.
It's funny that you say that, because I do the same thing. I didn't even realize that. I'll say, I know I sound crazy, but I really need you to do blah, blah, blah. Or that it would mean a lot to me if you do blah, 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 or do it this way, because that's a disclaimer and it takes the heat off of it.
And it's not because of you. It's because of me and my anxiety. Right.
Yeah. And it's owning your part, which is another one of the primary communication tools that we teach, because in anything between two people, you have some responsibility for what's going on. And, you know, without punishing yourself, without taking the blame for it, you can say, well, my part is, I get really worried when I don't hear from you by 10 o'clock. So please call me if you're going to be out later than 10.
So I would appreciate if you would call me if you're going to be out later so I can calm myself down.
Which actually ends up being a lot more than just I statements. That's what I found. When I started with the I statements and I started with the blaming me, I found I was accomplishing a whole bunch of the other skills. I was changing negative statements into positive requests. I was requesting, not demanding. I was owning my own piece in it. I was using I statements. So like I was using a whole bunch of skills just by changing it to I statements. So like I could say, you know, you never call me when you're going to be late. And it just, you just always, it's so disrespectful. And you know, I worry and you don't do anything about it. Versus, I know I'm the one that gets really anxious when I don't hear from you and you're here after 10. Would you mind just giving me a call so that I don't kind of get all, have my ruminating thoughts? Much more of a request, a lot less demanding. It's not negative. I'm asking you what I want you to do versus telling you what I don't want you to do. It's just one small little baby step and it ends up being this huge, huge step. Much better way of communicating and on top of all of this, it's self-care.
But it's also self-awareness, which I feel like is such an important part of self-care. If you don't start looking at yourself and what you want and what you need and what triggers you and what this reminds you of and all of this, it's very hard to do what we're asking you to do, because there's like this underbelly of reactivity that just comes spewing out sideways. And once you slow things down and like, okay, then this is what you do with yourself. This is what I'm noticing. This is what I realize triggers me. This is what I would love to have happen. And what language can I use to translate this? Because it's so funny. I do the Jewish mother equivalent of what you're doing, Lori, which is, you know, I know this is a lot to ask, but would you mind, blah, blah, blah. But what happens is I call it disclaimers. It's like, you know, the disclaimers soften it and make it less triggering. Because if I say, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to say, can you stop using drugs? I'm like, I know this is a lot to ask, but can you take the recycling down? You know, it's like, and you could hear the irony in that. And what happens is that by me saying that, it's like, yeah, fine, I'll take it down, because it isn't a lot to ask. So I feel like if what this is all about, and Lori's making this amazing point of, you start using one tool and it winds up being a package deal. And so just by changing something, there's this cascade of changes that happen with it that are positive. So anytime you make a positive move, it's not just a small thing. It winds up leading to so many other effects with this, which is exciting. But it's a practice. It's a practice. It's a practice. You do it on a regular basis and it starts becoming a habit.
And it ends up being self-care. And I have said this, Dominique, you've heard me say it a million times. Practicing craft and actually implementing craft is self-care. It changes who you are as an individual and how you interact with the world around you in a positive way. So it is a form of self-care. So just start. Pick something small that you're going to do. And I often say, I think the easiest skills and strategies to start to work with are the communication skills and strategies. And it's also important to remember that when you start with the communication skills and strategies, you are not going to have lovely, beautiful conversations with your loved one when you learn these communication skills. And a lot of people seem to think this. They think that, well, how do I have a conversation with my loved one so they'll accept what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, you won't. So all it is about learning how you get to communicate better. So when you do have challenging conversations, you're better at it. And you'll be amazed. Honest to God, you'll be amazed at how much peace and calmness it brings you to practice these skills.
Because any effort in practicing it forces you to do this initial thing, which is the awareness that it's going on. You're going to pause to figure out what's the best way forward. And that pause, let it take what it takes, because it takes a long time in the beginning because you don't know which direction to go in. But just being quiet is probably taking away some negative talk that would have been in its place days earlier. So just the quiet pause is already such a massive craft step, not responding the way you always do. You know, your loved ones expect you to be the same and to go through the same patterns and cough up the same money at the end of the same argument. What craft is asking you to do is to take a look at what you can change about yourself that's going to rattle their cage. Plain and simple, you want them to realize that things are different, that you're not going to play this any longer. You're taking a look at yourself and you're moving at a different pace. And that is really frightening for us with addictions when we have somebody that we've been counting on for decades. And that's usually who we have listening to us, our families who have been at this, you know, for 10 years. It's not unusual. And for those of you over, you know, at 10 years or more, we understand how this happens. I mean, it's a very, very complicated human situation that is all based on relations and communications. And we're not so good at that ourselves. So it's a very quick start by just being aware of what you're doing on your end of things.
Well, Kayla, do you think you could give us a summary of what it is that we talked about today?
Well, we started by talking about building a new muscle. And what we have determined is that in order to build a new muscle, you have to identify what the muscle it is that you want to build. And that starts with awareness, which requires a pause, lots of pauses. And then you learn about what the tool is, and then you practice it in small ways as frequently as you possibly can. And hopefully that becomes a habit. And then that habit leads to self-care accidentally, but intentionally. And by you changing something, you wind up taking care of yourself and focusing on yourself and learning more about yourself, which not only changes who you are, but changes the relationship that you have with your loved one. And as with all things, allies, the hope is that by changing yourself, you have a positive change in the relationship, which allows them to possibly change their own habits. But they have to change the habits if you're doing something differently, because you're not going to be the receptor site for the old way. So this is an amazing skill set. And if you practice it, it will change your whole life.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks for listening. We hope this episode of Coming Up for Air spoke to you. If you're listening in today on a podcast platform that isn't the Allies member site, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating. This helps others find the show more easily. If you have a suggestion for a new topic or a guest for the show, please reach out through the Contact Us form on alliesinrecovery.net. Special thanks to our hosts, our guests, and our production team.